A man walks into a hospital ward. He has never met the patient before. Within 30 seconds, he announces the patient's occupation, recent travel history, and the nature of their ailment, without asking a single question. This was not fiction. This was Dr. Joseph Bell, surgeon at the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary, performing his daily diagnostic rounds. Arthur Conan Doyle watched Bell do this repeatedly while studying medicine at the University of Edinburgh. He never forgot it. When Doyle sat down to write a detective story, he did not invent a method from scratch. He transplanted Bell's clinical system, observe first, explain later, directly onto a fictional consulting detective named Sherlock Holmes. Holmes first appeared in A Study in Scarlet, published in Beaton's Christmas Annual in 1887. Doyle wrote it while still actively pursuing his medical career. The detective and the doctor were, from the very beginning, the same person wearing different clothes. Now, the key idea here is what Bell actually did that made him so striking. Bell was known for reading small physical details about patients and drawing precise conclusions from those observations. Doyle described Bell's approach as combining observation, inference, and deduction, three words that would later define Holmes's entire method. Think of it as a diagnostic pipeline. You collect raw data first, you resist the urge to explain, then you build your conclusion from the evidence outward, not from a guess inward. Holmes inherits this pipeline exactly. His method begins with collecting observations before forming any explanation. That structure is adapted directly from medical diagnosis. Doyle was so explicit about this debt that in a letter written to Bell in 1892, he credited Bell as the direct inspiration for Holmes. He stated that he had built Holmes around the very principles Bell demonstrated. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, published as a book in 1892, was even dedicated to Joseph Bell. That dedication was not a courtesy. It was an acknowledgement of authorship. The storytelling machinery Doyle built around Holmes is just as important as the detective himself. Holmes is not a conventional police detective. He presents himself as a consulting detective, someone whose expertise is sought by others. That distinction matters enormously. It positions Holmes as a specialist operating above the system, which makes every case feel higher stakes. But Holmes alone cannot carry the narrative. That is where Dr. John Watson enters. Watson was introduced in A Study in Scarlet alongside Holmes, and his role is frequently underestimated. Watson functions as an audience surrogate. He asks the questions a reader is likely to ask. He is present for the clues, but cannot assemble them. That gap between what Watson sees and what Holmes concludes is where the reader lives. Watson's narration preserves the mystery of Holmes's reasoning until the explanation arrives at the end. Remove Watson, and you remove the reader's entry point into the story entirely. The publication structure Doyle chose amplified everything. After A Study in Scarlet and the second novel, The Sign of the Four, Doyle moved Holmes into short stories. The short story format was a precise strategic choice. Each case could deliver a self-contained narrative problem and solution. That made Holmes ideal for recurring publication. An early Holmes short story series appeared in the Strand magazine, beginning with A Scandal in Bohemia in 1891. The Strand became especially famous for these stories. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes collected 12 of them, originally published between July 1891 and June 1892. The collection was an immediate success in Britain. For example, readers would queue for new issues of The Strand specifically to follow Holmes. The short story engine meant the character could run indefinitely. A new case, a new puzzle, the same reliable method. That repeatability is a core reason Holmes outlasted almost every other fictional detective of his era. Remember this. Sherlock Holmes was not a stroke of pure imagination. He was a literary application of a real medical diagnostic method. Doyle took what Bell demonstrated at the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary, observe, infer, deduce, and encoded it into a character, a partnership, and a publication format designed to sustain endless stories. The takeaway, Alina, is that Holmes's genius was always Doyle's genius for system design. And that system, a repeatable method, a reliable narrator, a self-contained story structure, is exactly why the detective is still with us. The character works because the machine underneath him works. That machine is what this course is built to show you.